Hello and welcome to AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We're so pleased to welcome on the program today. Quincy Fire Department Lieutenant Christopher Murphy is here to chat about fire safety, particularly over the winter and holidays. So, Chris, great to meet you, first of all. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, Joe.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. This is a great opportunity. You're the new education officer, right, the Quincy Fire Department?
Yes, so I was recently promoted to lieutenant.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And my new role will be to discuss education in the schools at the senior center and on your program.
Which, great.
I've seen your program before, and it's a great way for us to reach the public.
Yeah, we're happy to help you do that for sure. I know folks are very curious about how to stay safe in their homes and at work as well. So this is a great opportunity to do that. Tell me a little bit about your career with the QFD so far. When did you start? What have you done? And where are you going?
Okay, I started back in 2004.
Okay.
I was assigned to the Rescue One, the rescue truck located at headquarters in Quincy Center. And I was on that truck for 17 years, so I got promoted. And now I'm a new lieutenant in the Fire Prevention Office.
Congratulations on that. Wow, that's great. Quincy resident?
Yes.
Okay.
Quincy my whole life.
Yeah, your whole life.
Yep.
Wow. And always on the fire department? Or
Before I was on the fire department, I went to college. I got, I got a degree in accounting. I worked in kind of accounting computers for a little while.
Okay.
And I decided that wasn't quite the career for me, so I got into the fire department.
Very good. Where'd you go to school?
I went to UMass Dartmouth, and I went to Suffolk University for my master's degree.
Okay. And Quincy Public
and
Schools
North Quincy High School, and the elementary school is Sacred Heart.
Okay.
Which is now Quincy Catholic
Which
Academy.
Which is, I was just going to say, combined now, yeah.
Yep.
So in Quincy all your life, so you've seen all the growth that's happened in the city.
I have, yeah. It's a lot. It's great for the city.
Yeah.
You know? I saw the picture you have out front with the old outside of City Hall.
Yes.
And it looks a lot different now.
Yeah, it's changed dramatically from then. Actually, it was brought up at one of the city council meetings. One of the councils was concerned with all these new high rises. Is the fire department prepared for that?
We prepare for everything as best we can.
Yeah.
We try to stay on top of the type of construction that's being used. A lot of these are being made with a lightweight construction, which is small wood. And
yeah.
That's a little bit more dangerous for us than buildings made out of steel.
Right.
So, the council I think was bringing up, we're trying to get a placard put on some of those buildings so we're aware. After they're built, you don't really know what's behind the walls, So. I think that's something that they're working on.
Yeah. It's not unique to Quincy either. This type of building's going on in cities.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. They all get built the same. Yeah.
Great.
It's all about money for the contractors. So they'll build them,
fast as they can.
Yeah. And at the best cost they can do it.
Let's be honest, right?
Which is, I understand that.
Right.
But, we do have to keep track of that.
Yeah.
You know.
But they do have to meet codes.
Absolutely. Everything meets the code.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They're all inspected by the building department, fire department. They all meet the code.
Yeah. In fact, that's part of what you were doing before this job, right, is inspecting.
We would go around in trucks and inspect buildings. We should also to learn the layout of buildings and that.
Yeah.
So we'll go into as many buildings as we can to understand what the layout is and kind of give us some pre-fire planning.
Yes. Planning is key for sure.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, especially now that folks are doing more indoor decorating, cooking, and various other things that can lead to problems. What have you seen so far this season here in Quincy, Chris?
For holiday-related things, it's early in the season.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anything really related to fires related to the holiday decorations or trees or anything like
Good.
That.
Well, let's hope that stays that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just looking up some things with the NFPA, and the trees they're not a huge problem. They will cause fires depending on, if they're watered, you need to keep them watered. And also, if you have any ignition sources.
Yes.
So, but the big thing with the trees is if they aren't watered, it's how fast they burn and how quickly they'll cause a problem in the house. The house will fill with smoke very rapidly, you won't be able to see. People will get confused. They may not find their way out. But they do burn very rapidly, and that's why you need to keep them watered.
Keep them watered if it's a real tree. Yeah, and
if
I know folks that have purchased them early because there's some shortages this year.
Yep.
So they may dry out even before Christmas.
That's why it's recommended you water it every day.
Yeah.
To keep it as moist as possible.
Yeah.
Really.
And if you can't, ditch it, right?
Yes. Yep. Definitely Get it outside, yep.
Exactly. What are some of the kind of the mistakes, I guess, people make in their homes, especially this time of year, that could lead to a fire?
One of the big things is overloading electrical outlets.
Yeah.
People, they have a lot of holiday decorations. They might have candles and windows that are electric. People have those holiday houses they put in there. Trees, lights just around.
Yep.
You know, so overloading electrical outlets are power strips. The same thing. That's interior and exterior.
Yep, exactly.
So if anything that they use, they should make sure is certified for, if it's going to be exterior, make sure it's certified for outside.
Okay.
Interior, that's for interior. You can check the labels. They'll have a UL listing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, people know what they're using as a safe product.
Okay.
And if it's lights and things you use year after year, to make sure that they're not... the wiring isn't frayed or anything like that, and that they're in good condition before you use them.
Okay. Yeah, it's all kind of common sense stuff, right, when you think about it?
It is, yeah, but people don't think about it.
They don't.
Take them out of the box, use them again.
And, guilty as charged.
Yep,
I
probably do it.
Right.
I do do it.
Right, sure. So take just an extra moment.
It is. Make sure that everything is in good working condition before you use it.
Sure, absolutely. Will the kind of electric service that you have in your home, you know, dictate what type of lighting that you use?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, the most homes are have enough electrical service to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's if you overload a particular outlet. Or a particular power strip or something that they'll overheat.
Okay.
And that can cause a fire.
Okay. So you should check them to see if they're getting warm. I mean, is that one way to tell?
Usually the breaker will trip. But
okay.
If you have a faulty breaker, it may not.
Yeah.
That does happen. If anything does feel too hot, then that could be an indication. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Don't run any wires under rugs, I know, right?
No, yep. Don't do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't put a staple or a nail through your through a wire.
Nope. That will cause problems.
Yes. all those things. You mentioned breakers. Here in Quincy, are most folks, circuit breakers, or are there any fuses left?
Most of the houses we see now are on circuit breakers.
Okay.
I haven't seen one with a regular, an older fuse box in a long time.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean they're not out there.
That's true, yeah. And I guess if they're maintained, they're okay, right?
But yes.
The problem, yes. As I recall years ago with those, was people would put a fuse that's rated higher than that circuit, and that caused a lot of problems.
That can definitely be a problem because a regular homeowner may not know what fuse to buy. So if you have any questions, you should contact an electrician.
Absolutely, yeah. So don't put a 20-amp fuse in a 15-amp circuit is...
Yeah,
is how it works, right?
Yeah. Everything's rated for certain things, so
yeah.
If you're unsure, you should at least replace it with what you took out,
correct?
The exact same size, or call an electrician, which is your safest bet.
Yes, yeah. Of course, in addition to decorating, we're cooking more inside and outside, actually,
mm-hmm.
this time of year. What are some safety precautions to take in the kitchen?
The biggest thing, and when I was looking at some statistics with the NFPA, the biggest problem with the cooking, and this is almost any time of year, but I think more maybe now because people get distracted, they're doing a lot of things, is just leaving what you're cooking unattended.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget about it, you don't go back in, and then it can cause kitchen fires.
Yes.
That's kind of number one. You should have fire extinguisher handy.
Okay.
Location of the fire extinguisher, I have seen people, they have their fire extinguisher located right next to the stove.
Yep.
If it's right next to the stove, you may not be able to get it.
Oh.
So, keep it a little bit somewhere where you're able to reach it.
Good point.
And if you're going to use it, make sure that you are between the fire and your exit so that if things get worse, you're able to get out.
Okay. Don't box yourself in, basically.
Yeah.
But that's a great point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
But if there's a fire on the stove and the fire extinguisher is next to the stove or under the stove, you're going to get burned trying to get to the fire extinguisher.
Yep. So you can keep that, somewhere you're able to reach it.
Okay.
That's important. And like I said, stay between the fire and your exit. And that way, if things do get worse, you can get out. If the fire is in the oven, and just leave that door closed,
okay.
It potentially extinguish itself.
Okay.
But always call 911. Anytime you have a fire, call us. We'll come out and make sure everything's safe.
Even if it is out, right?
Even if it's out, call anyway. We'll
check.
Make sure it's out. We have thermal imaging cameras, can make sure that it didn't, heat up anything inside the walls or anything like that. So, yeah, we can check and make sure that everything's safe for you. Yeah.
Good. When it comes to fire extinguishers, what types are there and what type should we have?
The one most people should have in their house is, it's called an ABC extinguisher.
Okay.
That'll can be used for... like wood, paper, flammable liquids and on electrical fires.
Okay.
So that's a combination extinguisher that can be used for all three types of fires.
Okay. And operating it, is it pretty self-explanatory?
It is. There's directions on them.
Yeah.
If you're unsure how to operate it, then, you know, I mean, my recommendation would be don't try.
Yeah.
Just get out, call 911.
Okay.
You don't want to be, I mean, you can try and take it out with you maybe in practice, and then if you can safely do it, try and put the fire out. But if you don't know how to operate it, then you're better off getting out of the house and calling 911, and we'll come and we'll take care of the fire.
Yeah. Read the instructions beforehand.
Beforehand,
While the fire's going, you're not going to be sitting there trying, you know, pull tab one. And
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to do that. You don't have time to do that.
No, you know, exactly. So. Interesting you mentioned time. I've seen some of the videos you talked about with the Christmas trees.
Yes.
2 to 3 minutes, and it's the room itself is fully involved, not just the tree.
And that's because it's just that tree's just so dry, and it will burn so quickly that you don't have any time. If your tree, of course, got fire, you want to get out right away.
Yes.
Because you won't. Your fire extinguisher probably won't take care of that problem.
Is that right?
It would depend how, if you can start, get to it when it's small. But, I mean, by the time you get your extinguisher and get there, those trees are so dry that I think that would, you may not have enough time.
Which, speaking of time, it brings up another good point about detectors, right? How important those are to have in your home.
So everybody should have detectors every level of your home.
Okay.
Smoke and carbon monoxide.
Okay, they have the combined ones now.
They do have combined ones. Those are the best type.
Oh, okay.
Because they, well, I guess it varies. Different manufacturers sell different ones.
Yes.
If it's combined, now you want to have one that is also voice activated.
Oh, really?
So that when that beeps, it will tell you whether it senses smoke or if it senses carbon monoxide.
Oh, okay. So those smart detectors.
Yes. Okay. Those are the best type right now.
Interesting. Yeah. Probably a little pricey, I'm sure.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. But we do have a program that we're gonna go to the senior center and offer that to the seniors. Mm-hmm. We do have a program at the Red Cross that we can come and install some in houses. As long as we have the supply, which
Sure.
do have some right now.
Okay.
And then we were able to do some others. We're doing it this week, where some people signed up during Fire Prevention Month in October.
Oh, okay.
So we were able to go to some homes. We did about 60 homes this week.
Really?
And we can do some more. The target audience is the seniors.
Yep.
For now, but if we can expand that program, if we get funding, then I can come on and talk about that.
Please.
Another time.
Okay, great.
But right now the target is going to be for seniors.
Okay. Well, certainly you don't want older folks up on a ladder trying to replace a detector or standing on a stool or something.
A lot of them aren't able to, and a lot of them aren't fixed income and can't
that
afford
too.
The detectors too.
Yeah. So. Speaking of placement, where should the detectors go, Chris?
You should have one on every level of your home, including the basement.
Including the basement.
And your attic if it's accessible, and especially if it's any living space up there.
Okay.
And they should be located within 10 feet of bedrooms.
Okay.
And at the bottom of every stairway.
Okay. On the ceiling.
On the ceiling,
okay.
Yes. Yep. I have seen them on the walls, but they're best on the ceiling. And, I mean, whatever detector you buy, you should follow the manufacturer's instructions as well, is where they should be placed.
Okay. Yeah. And they do expire, don't they?
They do.
Detectors,
So they say every 10 years they should be replaced.
Yeah.
Some of the ones they sell now have a 10-year battery in it.
Really?
So when that, when that starts chirping and say that the battery's no good, then that's it. You throw it away and buy a new one.
Yeah. Interesting. I hadn't heard that. Okay.
And you should test them. You should test them once a month.
Yep.
If you have ones that operate on just battery, that's not the 10-year battery, they should be replaced every 6 months.
Right. I know the recommendation is every time we change the clocks, change the batteries, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Does it matter if it's a battery operated or if it's one of the hardwired ones? What do you think is better? They're just different, I know.
So that the code is, does the code varies depending on a lot of factors.
Okay.
So that's
All right.
a hard question to answer
right
now. If you do a major remodel to your house, mm-hmm. you'll be required to have hardwired ones.
Oh, okay.
A new house being built has to have hardwired ones. Older homes, battery ones are fine.
Okay.
So the code does vary depending on how old your home is and other building factors.
Okay. So. All right. So if you're doing work, I mean, certainly check with your
department. Anybody can call Fire Prevention Office and we can tell them what they need to do.
What's the number actually up there, Chris?
617-376-1016.
Okay.
1016. Yes.
Okay, and it's directly to fire prevention.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Yep.
Yeah, I think folks might not realize if they have questions, they can reach out, you know, and get mm-hmm. answers.
Yep, there's usually someone in the office between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. If not, leave a message like I did and you get
yes,
back to us.
So
it works out just great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, in addition to cooking and decorating, mm-hmm. we're trying to keep warm too in the
yes.
winter, and space heaters get to be an issue, I know.
They do. So with space heaters, you want to make sure that that's rated nice, the UL ratings, just like on your holiday lights and your tree.
Okay.
If you have a fake tree, that should have a rating, everything. So the space heaters, and if you're going to use them, the newer ones, or that's probably been for a while now, they have automatic shutoffs if they tip over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You should make sure it has certain safety features like that.
Okay.
It should be plugged directly into the wall.
Yes.
Not with an extension cord.
Not a power strip.
Not a power strip.
Yeah.
Nope. Directly to the wall. And I don't know if I already mentioned, they should be within 3 feet of anything, really.
Okay.
And especially anything that's combustible that
okay.
can burn.
All right. So. Is there, in your opinion, is there one that's a type that's better than another type?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have one at my house. So I'm not really familiar with a lot of them.
Okay.
Just the general rules, though, you know, plug it directly into the wall and keep it 3 feet away from anything. And if the more safety features that it can come with, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't leave them on when you leave.
Good point, too.
When you leave the house.
Yeah.
If you're going to be out of a certain room for a long time, I would also shut it off.
Okay. All good advice, yeah. I know that there was a campaign a few years ago that said, give space heaters space.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
give it
yep.
a three-foot radius
that's
at least,
that's
right?
Good, yeah, it's easy way to remember it.
Yeah, exactly. Can we talk a bit about safety with fireplaces, with wood stoves, and what we're supposed to be cautious of with those devices?
Great. So fireplaces, I would make sure that you have the chimney cleaned.
Okay.
Yearly, you want to have that clean. And what you place next to the fireplace, obviously you don't want to have, this time of year, you don't want your stockings hanging
yeah.
above the fireplace because
yeah.
they could catch fire with
sure.
Enough heat coming out of there. Your Christmas tree, that shouldn't be too close to where your fireplace is.
Looks pretty, but
it does, yeah.
can be
but
dangerous.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think a lot of, just sort of, I guess, common sense ideas there. You know, you don't want to have anything too close. You want to make sure it's cleaned.
Mm-hmm,
And like I said, inspected,
yeah.
and carbon monoxide could be an issue. You don't want to burn certain things in your fireplace, like wrapping paper. It's not a good idea to burn that.
No. Really?
Yeah, so that can light up really quickly.
Okay.
And it could just kind of flash out of the fireplace and like a, so you want to be careful with that,
Okay.
Burn just logs, basically,
Yeah, whatever's intended for.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Either the pre-processed logs, I guess, or
mm-hmm.
or dried kiln, right? Kiln
yes.
dried wood.
And yeah. Cleaning it, if you're going to clean it out, you want to make sure you're putting it in a metal container.
Okay.
If you have the hot ash in there.
Yep.
And make sure it's completely out before you go to bed for the night.
Good advice. Yeah, as well. As I know, you probably see chimney fires because
yes.
of cracked flues, right?
You see that, yeah. And sometimes you'll see them start because you might have had a bird's nest, squirrels, something
yep.
gets in the chimney. That's why every year you should have a check before you start your fireplace, because
okay.
animals can get in there and make nests and do different things as well. So
yeah,
yeah.
A qualified
mm-hmm.
chimney company will inspect
yes.
it, prepared
mm-hmm.
if need be. Should you have a cap on it? Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will prevent the animals from coming in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But sometimes they do find ways. So.
They're clever creatures for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Wood stoves. What about wood stoves?
Wood stoves, if they're installed properly,
mm-hmm.
they're generally pretty safe.
Okay.
Again, with those, you want to keep combustible things away from them, and especially young kids.
Yes.
You don't want them to be in any danger. So.
They get screaming hot. Yeah.
They do. They do get very hot, but if they're installed properly, they're generally pretty safe.
We talk a little bit about cooking outdoors, because some people still do that regardless of the weather.
They do, yeah.
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 And some safe ways to do that.
So cooking outdoors is generally safe. People
mm-hmm.
use their grills. I do it the same way you do in the summer. Keep your grill 10 feet away from your house. Don't bring your grill into your garage to cook where it's going to be warmer, because you'll have problems there,
yeah.
carbon monoxide and other issues. Because your propane, you can't cook with propane inside the house, so
yep.
At least not the propane tank on the grill. Basically, follow the same safety rules as you would over the summer.
Yep.
Anytime you use your grill.
Yeah, I know that. I think here in Quincy, you can't have them on
Not on balconies.
Decks or balconies.
Not above the first floor deck, yes.
Okay.
So any apartment building, you can't have a grill on your deck.
Okay.
Your porch, balcony, whatever. Yeah.
Period, end of story.
Yes.
What about charcoal grill?
Charcoal grill, same rules apply.
Okay.
You know, and charcoal obviously has the extra step of disposing of the charcoal.
Yes.
So you need to, again, put that in a metal container or make sure it's completely out, you know, so.
Okay. I know folks don't think about brush fires this time of year, but they can occur, right?
They can, yeah. Oh, absolutely. They can occur with just all the leaves on the ground.
Yes.
You know, people smoke and throw a cigarette off the deck and
yep.
there's a pile of leaves there. It burns the same at the temperature. The cold temperature doesn't affect whether it's going to burn or not.
Right.
It's more, it's moisture, the water, that will affect
That's
that.
Right. If it's dry, even so if it's the middle of January.
Yep, dry leaves burn just as fast in January as they do in July. So,
sure.
Yep.
And I know that has happened before, like smoldering mulch fires, brush fires
yep.
around a home can mm-hmm. smolder for a long time before you realize
it can,
there's
yes.
a problem. Yeah.
Yep.
So properly disposed of smoking materials, is that, would you say, one of the number one reasons for house
it
fires?
It does happen a lot,
yeah.
yes. And that's, it's hard to, I mean, you can educate people, but,
yep.
you know, people just have to have, again, some common sense sometimes and not throw a cigarette out the window
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk generators a little bit. We have power failures in the winter when storms roll through. A lot of folks like to rely on a generator. How do
yep.
we do that safely?
So generators, I had a couple notes
yep.
on that. Let me just see. With those, so you don't want to run your generator in the garage. That's going to be run outside. You want to probably keep it covered with something, not directly on it, but so it's not getting wet.
Okay.
If it is, a little tent or something. And you want to put it where the fumes, it's going to give off fumes.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want those fumes getting in the house. You'll have carbon monoxide problems too, just from the generator running.
Okay.
And so you want to make sure your CO alarms are working
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not older than 10 years old. So
okay.
like we talked about before. And if you're going to refuel it, you want to make sure it's been turned off and it's cool before you add the fuel.
Okay. Because it could flash if it
it could,
the
it could,
hot
yes, the fumes, the gasoline engine. Fumes will catch fire.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Have we seen problems at all in Quincy?
I haven't
okay.
any that I can really remember, but things can happen at any time. So
yeah.
just if people follow safety precautions, then hopefully we won't have those problems.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking this storm we had this past October, so many folks lost power that maybe many more people will be buying generators because of that.
Yeah.
You know? So
mm-hmm.
I know that they come with a whole list of safety instructions, operating instructions, and really it answers every question that you have.
Yes. They also, I know they come with instructions. You don't want to overload those either.
Plug
in certain number of appliances or whatever to them.
Yeah.
But again, you need to follow the manufacturer's instructions on that.
Yeah, okay. How important is it to have the NFPA right here in Quincy, Chris? I mean, is that a good
resource? They're a good organization,
yeah.
you know. It's if we need information, we can call them.
Yeah.
You know, but they do a good job. I mean, that's the recommendation. You can go online to their website.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of fire safety information and statistics and all that, so yeah.
And in fact, they create the codes
yes.
that you abide by, right?
They do.
So yeah,
mm-hmm.
and I know everything that's listed on their website, too. There's thousands of them.
There are. There's a lot. Yep.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming if you try to read them all.
It yeah. really can be, yeah. Can we talk a little bit about what to do if there is a fire in your home? What are the steps that you take?
Sure. So, I mean, the biggest step is to get out.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, you can call 911 after you leave.
Yep.
The biggest thing is your safety. Everything in the home, it's unfortunate, but it can be replaced. You know, your belongings, the house itself, all that can be replaced. But so the big thing is to get outside.
Okay.
If your family should have a designated meeting spot outside the house.
Yep.
And make sure everybody meets there. Practice that. If you have young children, practice that with them so that it becomes a habit for them to meet at the same spot every time they hear that fire alarm go
yes.
off.
Yes. Okay, good. What about if your CO detector goes off? Is it the same protocol?
Same thing. You should
same
get out of the house.
Okay.
We'll call us. We'll come. We have meters that will detect the levels, and then we'll try to narrow down what might be causing it.
Okay.
But yes, everyone should leave the house.
Yeah. That's the kind of sneaky one because you don't really you don't smell it. You don't see it. Everything seems okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this alarm going off? But you can be overcome quickly.
It's very
right?
dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes, because you can't smell it, you can't see it. You know, smoke, you can see it, you can smell it, but not the carbon monoxide.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about what we should do, Chris, when we're thinking about our heating systems in our homes, our furnaces, things like that, okay, in terms of being safe.
All right, so same thing that we talked about before, have them maintained. You should have somebody come in and inspect them and make sure that they work. Carbon monoxide could be an issue with those too. So the vents, some of the newer vents now vents to the outside of the building on the lower spot. A lot of them, the older days, they all kind of went up the chimney. Now they have power venting and different things on them so they can vent out the side, mm-hmm, kind of like your dryer does.
Yep.
So in this, along the same lines, you want to make sure those vents are cleared when it snows out. Because if those vents get blocked, the carbon monoxide can build up in your house.
Good advice.
So
yeah,
that's important, yep.
Something we don't think about. It's that the kind of the white PVC pipe
the
that
pipe, yes,
sticks out. You see the steam shooting out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, so that's come from your heating system,
yep,
or your dryer. And those you need to make sure that those are clear.
Okay.
For the most part, they're probably installed high enough that they may not, but we do have some winters we get a lot of snow.
Oh, yeah.
and people shovel and make piles and everything else. So
sure,
those things need to be kept clear.
Let's hope we don't have that much snow.
No, I hope not to
this year. But you're right. Yeah, the winter of 2015.
Yes.
Was certainly one of those cases.
It was.
So it could happen again.
Yep.
What about fire sprinklers in private homes? Do you think that's something we're going to start to see more of in the future?
It's recommended, but it hasn't. There hasn't been passed into the building code,
right,
as far as I know yet.
Yeah.
So down the road, we may see it.
Mm.
I'm not sure how long that would take. That's a it would have to get signed into law.
Obviously, or, yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
you know, those things can take a long time. But
yep,
sprinklers are they do help. All the apartment buildings that are sprinklered, they do knock down fires and keep them small.
Sure.
You know, we kind of like to say small fires don't become big fires if you keep them small.
Yeah.
So
it's great. Yeah.
You know, so that's. I don't know about when, how, you know, a law like that would come into play, but it could potentially save a lot of homes,
really,
and people,
yeah,
you know, so. Yeah.
Something to watch for in the future,
mm-hmm,
yeah. Anything else we should let folks know about, do you think, right now, at least? You know, a lot of folks will be getting electronic devices for Christmas, Chris.
Yes.
And a lot of those have to be charged,
mm-hmm,
and they have those lithium-ion batteries. We've heard issues with those.
Yep, so that's a good question. So those batteries, they can become very hot when they're charging.
Yes.
We don't recommend that you charge them in your bed. You know, they should be on a hard surface. Put them on the nightstand,
yep,
on a table, countertop when you're charging them. People do fall asleep with them while they're on the charger and they're in a bed. And I haven't seen it personally myself, but there have been instances where that does catch your bedding on fire.
Yep.
And, you know, you're,
yep,
lying right next to it, and that's dangerous. So charge those devices on a hard surface.
Okay.
That's what we recommend.
And probably not going to sleep with them plugged in. Or
no, yes.
Just to be safe, yeah.
Yep, just to be safe.
Although everybody does it.
I know people do it,
yeah,
but you know, you don't want to be that person to get in trouble with it.
Exactly,
you know, you want to,
yeah,
make sure that you keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
You know?
You mentioned you're out in the schools, so a lot of this information that we talked about today, I'm sure you're sharing with students.
Yes,
yeah.
So... Well, before I was in this position, we did have one of the other guys to go to the schools,
sure,
and discuss fire safety with them, and I'll be probably doing that again in a few months, different grades. And that is one of the things I have done in the past, gone with two schools, and that is one of the things we do mention, is about charging your devices.
Yes.
Especially to the more of the older kids.
Yep.
You know, the third graders, a lot of them won't have cell phones, but all the old kids,
middle school
them,
and
so
up, yeah,
they,
for
they
sure.
Have them. So we'll definitely mention that when we talk to them. Yes.
Yeah. Do you find that educating children about these things is a great way, you know, to educate adults about it too, because they bring it home?
It is.
Yeah.
Usually, if I go in and I talk to them, I tell them that they have homework for their parents. You know, so they like that, and that
sure
makes them laugh. I think they all go home and, you know, tell that they want to be in charge for a little while. So yeah.
I've got an assignment for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else we should touch on right now, do you think?
I think we hit a lot of topics. I think
we did.
The biggest thing that everyone should remember is just in general, just have some common sense about,
yeah,
some of these things, you know. Think about how many items you're plugging into one outlet or power strip,
mm-hmm,
and placement of your tree and candles. Candles are a big thing we don't think we really
right
discuss, but
sure.
People, this time of year, people light a lot more candles, you know,
yep,
decorative and different holiday scents or whatever, but placement of those near drapes and, you know, the tree and anything, other decorations. So
yeah.
That's
a great point.
I just think a lot of times people just need to think a little bit more before they do certain things. Accidents do happen, but a lot of things are preventable if we put some thought into it.
If folks have questions, if you could give the number out again for fire prevention.
Fire prevention, 617-376-1016.
Great.
And they can call anytime during the day and they can ask questions. And if they can leave a message, we'll call them back.
Okay. Really appreciate your time, Chris. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad you could have me on.
Yeah, and absolutely. We'll have you back, too.
Yes. Sounds good.
Have a very happy, safe holiday season.
You too.
Thank you very
much. You too,
and
I hope everybody does.
Yeah. Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we will see you next time.